Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When tough times come, God shakes us up to remind us who our real provider is. Downsizing may not be fun, but it may be necessary when the money dries up. Today, some key principles to hang on to when your crisis comes. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. In this, the second of seven messages, we're tracing the journey of a man who found himself trusting God when the wells are dry.
You may be in a situation where your wells are dry, so to speak, and I speak not only economically, but in terms of relationships, in terms of hardship, in terms of crisis. How does it affect us? Let me give you some observations and then nail it to the wall for all of us. First of all, the God who saves us is the God who sustains us. The God who went with Abraham into the land would have been able to keep Abraham in the land. No question about it. Now, as I already mentioned, it isn't wrong for us to move when we're in a famine in one part of the country and go to another. But for Abraham, this was unique. The problem was he believed in God's guidance into the land, but he couldn't trust God to sustain him in the land. There's a very interesting passage in the 26th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 26, Isaac, the son of Abraham. It says, chapter 26, verse 1, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines." That's actually on the way to Egypt. "And the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt, dwell in the land of which I shall tell you." And then God reiterates his covenant with Isaac. And Isaac trusts God to keep him in the midst of the famine and to grant him the grace to stay there. And what follows in the rest of the chapter is quite unique and even surprising, because we notice that Isaac, it says in verse 12, "Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Well, that's unique, isn't it? He was in the land of famine, but God says, "I am going to provide for you in the midst of your famine. I'm not going to take the famine away, but I'm going to grant you grace and strength so that you can live in the midst of the famine." To those of you who are going through an actual economic famine, what this means is that where we are. We can't change our situation. Many of us perhaps can't who are going through that. We can't change where we go. We can't just pick up and move. It's so complicated. Can God sustain you in the midst of that heartache, that famine? The answer is yes. Isaac reminds us of the fact that you should be willing to do anything. You should be willing to trust God not only for a harvest, but the rest of the chapter in 26 says that Isaac says that the Philistines filled the wells that Abraham had dug. And Isaac went, it says, and he redug Abraham's wells, and they had water. Look around. There may be some move you can make that you've not thought of. And one of the moves, since we're speaking economically, certainly is downsizing. I know that there are some folks who said this, and this is an actual story, though not connected to Moody Church, about a real estate developer who was making so much money, Christian, and he said, "You know, we just open our hands like this and God fills it. One success after another. And then when the downturn came in the real estate market, and he was unable to meet his obligations, he suddenly learned something, that God sustains us in the midst of famine, but we may live through the famine, but we can't live as we always lived. He had to downsize. He had to sell off. He had to lose a lot of money. But that, from God's standpoint, is part of the teaching. He says, I will sustain you in the midst of the famine. It may be hard, it may be difficult, but don't give up hope. And the reason that we should not give up hope is because of the next observation I'd like us to make. And that is that God doesn't leave us even when we leave him. God doesn't leave us even when we leave him. Here's Abraham. And he is supposed to be sustained in the land. And he panics, decides to do something foolish, go into Egypt. And next week I'm going to tell you about some people, I have their letters in my file, who in the midst of financial need have done very foolish things. In one or two instances, it is men who, without their wife knowing it, invested money in a get-rich-quick scheme that they found, hoping to cash in on all of this money, only to discover that their nest egg became a yolk. And it didn't work at all. Does God abandon us then? Because, you see, there are two different kinds of famines. There's the famine over which we have absolutely no control. That's the famine that Abraham had when he was in Egypt. You don't control those kinds of things. None of us controls the economy or the company in which we work. We can't control that. But the famine, I'm putting it in quotes, that Abraham experienced when he was in Egypt, that mess was self-created. And today there are some of you who are in a self-created hard place. Somebody told you, don't marry that guy, and you thought that you knew better, but they were right, weren't they? Somebody said, no, your wife told you, don't invest money there. I don't know why it is, but women have this fifth sense or sixth sense. They have more sense than we do anyway. And they say no, and you know better. But the point is this, that some messes are self-made. Does God say, well, Abraham, you know, when you left the promised land to go into Egypt, I stopped at the border. Because I'm not going to have anything to do with somebody who so disobeys me and uses deceit in order to get ahead and to save his neck. Did God say that? No. God walks with us. God is there with us. God accompanies Abraham into Egypt. God brings a plague on Pharaoh for Abraham's benefit. God restores Abraham, even though his testimony is lost, and he discovers that, you know what? This God who led me is also the God who forgives me. He's the God who restores me, and he's the God that I can worship again. I can build another altar. I can come back from my backslidings. Some of you, and you know who you are, you have become so cynical in your walk with God. There is no longer really warm fellowship because you feel that God wasn't there for you. And you say to yourself, I'm in a mess, I've made it, and God's not helping me in it. If you're a believer, God is with you there. He is for you. He's rooting for you. But he wants you to come back into fellowship. He wants you to say that I've strayed long enough. I've done my own thing long enough. I want to come back because it is better. It is better to have a dry well in Canaan than it is the lush pasture land of Egypt. It is better to have a dry well than a poisoned oasis. And so the Lord says, return to me, believe me, and trust me. There's a final lesson, and it really is the bottom line of everything. Every famine we go through, every famine is a test of our trust. Now, of course, when I speak about famines in the next message, I'm going to talk about the need for us as a community to walk through famine. But for now, I'm talking about us as individuals. It is always, always a test. Well, my dear friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and how glad I am that you are listening today. Because I can't help but think that there are many listening who are going through your own famine. Your wells are dry, and I want to encourage you. You know, when we talk about famine, we think of economics, but some of you are going through a different kind of famine. It may be a famine in your friendships. Maybe it's a famine because you've experienced loss, and you're going through a time of distress. Maybe there is a great deal of injustice that is being done to you at this time. I want to speak to you from my heart and to give you encouragement. No matter what kind of dryness, spiritually speaking, we may be going through, could I remind you that in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said this, "He who believes in me from within him shall be rivers of living water." What an experience we can have of the Holy Spirit who brings the presence of Jesus Christ to us. Would you draw near to God today? Would you tell him about your desperation, your famine, so that you might experience his grace and his power? He is with us, and he is available for fellowship, for connection, and for help. And please stay tuned, because in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. I hope that you'll listen to them again and again. Share them with those who are in need, and let us prepare in such a way that no matter what God brings us through in the months that lie ahead, we might be confident that he walks with us through that experience. And by the way, thank you so much for your financial support and for your prayers. We are dependent upon our listeners for the continuation of these ministries. So as I say goodbye today, I hope to see you again next time right here on Running to Win. And I'm praying that your day today will go much better than you thought it would.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of Trusting God When the Wells Are Dry, the second of 7 messages in a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Next time, more on trusting God during times of deprivation. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.